Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Andrew Mason here. Eric Goodman on assignment. Zach Stevens of thedmvr.com filling in for Eric Goodman. By the way, when I hear that music, I have a flashback to the first NFL game I ever covered.
Oh, how about that? Which one was that?
It was actually a Bronco game. The first that I was credentialed for. Broncos at Seahawks in the Kingdome in 1999. Back then, this is the music. Right Now by Van Halen that the Seahawks used to take the field to.
I mean, it's great music to take the field to. I mean, a team should do it now.
Yeah, it gets you pumped up, right?
It does.
I'm surprised that they don't use that, although they didn't do very well the couple years after that. So, and then they got in the new stadium and they wanted to change things up. But the Kingdome was actually a pretty cool place to see a game.
So what was the score of that game?
I believe it was 20-17 Seahawks over Broncos.
So it worked okay for him that day.
Yes, it did. That was, of course, the Broncos were coming off of winning Super Bowl 33. Struggled that year. Terrell Davis was hurt. I believe Chris Miller started that game.
Yikes.
Yeah, and he hung in there. I'm actually confirming here. 20-17. Yes, I get. I'm like, did I get it right?
Mace, you doubted yourself. No one else doubted you.
Well, I appreciate.
We knew it
that.
Was 20-17 once you said it.
The other thing I remember about that game is that Mike Shanahan's press conference was, I believe, 70 seconds.
Ooh, fiery.
He was hot.
Ah.
He was hot and didn't want to say very much. He was hot about the game. He was hot about the officials. And
first loss in a while for him.
Well, the team was only 3-6. Going into that, I believe that he hadn't lost a game in the Kingdome as a head coach prior to that, at least as coach of the Broncos.
Wow.
But that dropped the Broncos to 3-7. And it basically, at that point, any hope of defending the title evaporated in that moment. Even though, as it turned out, 9-7 would have gotten them in the playoffs, believe it or not. But they finished 6-10. But that was the other thing. I think for Mike, one of the reasons why he was so angry was because he was basically facing down the end of the title run for the Broncos.
Right.
And that night sort of brought down the curtain on that. If you want to join the conversation, join us on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed for wholesale lumber to the public. Go to rmfp.com at Zach Stevens DNVR at Mace Denver. And also want to tell you about Marco's Pizza in Aurora. If you love great pizza, check out Marco's Pizza in Aurora. They've got fresh ingredients. The dough and sauces are made on site. Hand-chopped meats and vegetables, always fresh, never frozen. And you can taste the difference. And like Eric will tell you, he's a Chicago guy. He knows all about the deep dish pizza, the tavern style pizza. He is a pizza snob. He's picky. He loves Marco's. You'll love Marco's as well. Check out their two locations in Aurora. And if you're outside of the Denver area, you might find a Marco's Pizza somewhere near you, as my parents will tell you, down in Florida. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Zach, in a vacuum, do you think it's possible to overrate a team coming off of a 5-11 season?
No.
CBS thinks it is. And they have a piece up right now about who they believe to be the NFL's most overrated teams. And the Denver Broncos are considered one of them. And here is the rationale. Quote, yes, the Broncos have some interesting offensive skill position players and a defense that could easily be a top 10 unit this year, but their ceiling is capped with what they currently have at the quarterback position. Right now, Denver is gearing up for a training camp battle between 2020 star Drew Lock and veteran Teddy Bridgewater. No matter who comes out on top and wins the starter job, it doesn't change my opinion on whether this team can be a viable threat in the AFC. If Aaron Rodgers ends up at Mile High, it's a totally different ballgame. But as this roster is currently constructed, particularly at quarterback, it's hard to have much faith that the Broncos be able to live up to some of these lofty odds that have been placed on them. Zach, I mean, there's been a lot said about the Broncos over the last few months. Overrated is not something that I was expecting to hear at all.
What are these lofty odds that he's seeing thrown on the Broncos? And because this doesn't include Aaron Rodgers. He said this all changes if the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers. And he's talking about how he doesn't think the Broncos are contenders in the AFC. Well, no, duh. I mean, of course, who is saying that? Because if you're seeing that, then sure, you can say they're overrated. But I haven't seen that once. So I think he's seeing the Broncos a lot differently here. Mace, I think when we think about the Broncos and without Aaron Rodgers, we kind of view success, and this is hard for Broncos fans to swallow right now, but we view success as a winning season. If they're 9-8, coming off a 5-11 season, that would be a big time success, I think, for this season. Because you say, holy cow, look at the step they took in the right direction. Now next year, they should be a double digit win team at least. Now you're going in the right direction. But I mean, he's talking about Broncos being contenders in the AFC without Aaron Rodgers. I think he's making that up.
Yeah. Right now, the Broncos are behind 10 teams in Super Bowl odds. They're 28-1. Cowboys are also 28-1. The Saints are 28-1. The Titans are 28-1. If Aaron Rodgers was not a possibility, where would their odds be?
Oh, they would probably be 20th in the bottom 10. But probably right around the bottom 10.
Probably that would be 50-1. Because that 50-1 and 60-1 is where the bottom 10 begins.
And so he's saying take out the Aaron Rodgers hedge that Vegas has on him right now. Put him at the 50-1, and he's still saying they're overrated. No, I mean, Mace, this is not a bottom of the league team. This is not a team that should be getting a top five draft pick next year. So to say they're overrated by being maybe an average team is just crazy.
Yeah. Some of these perspectives that we get outside of Denver, I don't think have much validity. But I am fascinated to see how others perceive the Broncos, just because sometimes when you get too up close with a team, you may view things either better than they are or worse than they are. Mm-hmm. I think this one was a kind of a little bit of a steaming hot take, but it's interesting to kind of view this. And so it got me thinking, there is some national buzz about the Broncos. When you talk about their skill position players and you get Cortland Sutton back, you get Von Miller back, you get Jerry Jeudy emerging, Noah Fant emerging, and what they've done at cornerback and re-signing Justin Simmons. So there is some buzz there. Would there be buzz, though, if Aaron Rodgers were not a possibility?
No, there wouldn't be buzz, because I think the national perspective, specifically national perspective, looks and says, who's your quarterback? Okay, yep, we're moving on, because the national perspective, Mace, is maybe even more tough on Drew Lock than you are. And then Teddy Bridgewater.
Are you saying I'm tough on him?
Oh, yeah. We know that. And then people just look at Teddy and say, okay, he's there for a year.
Yeah. I can be a little bit tough, but again, I think sometimes it's that up-close view. Things are either better than they are or worse than they are. I went to Mizzou and watched Drew Lock for 4 years. And sometimes that's why I like to hear others' perspective on Drew Lock, because sometimes I think I view Drew Lock too closely.
Right.
And I view everything through the prism of, oh, I saw it at Mizzou and I'm seeing it again.
Right.
And perhaps that causes me to be a little bit harsher on him than some are, than others are.
And
which
I
is
think,
weird. I mean, you've seen my office set up on our Zooms and all that. There's the big Mizzou helmet sitting right there behind me when I talk.
Oh, yeah. And there's no doubt the best thing for the Broncos is for Drew Lock to succeed, for him to be the guy this year, and then for the Broncos to sign him to a huge contract, because he's deserved that and earned that. We haven't seen anything yet to say that the Broncos should be doing that right now.
Okay. The other teams considered overrated in this piece were the 49ers, Patriots, and Rams. They make sense being considered overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree.
Especially the 49ers for this season. Because they just said, we don't have our quarterback. And what did I say about this conversation? You're going to look around and say, who's your quarterback? 49ers right now, they don't really know for this year.
They don't. And now, it's likely to be Jimmy Garoppolo. But here's the thing that could happen. Remember Philadelphia in 2016? They draft Carson Wentz, number 2 overall. And they have Sam Bradford. And they're more than willing to start Sam Bradford. And Bradford looked like he could do pretty well. And indeed, he actually ended up having a pretty good season that year. But he had a pretty good season with the Minnesota Vikings, because they saw enough from Wentz to pull the trigger on trading him to the Vikings when the Vikings lost Teddy Bridgewater to that horrific injury. So what I'm saying is, there could be a scenario where a team loses its quarterback, fancies themselves a contender, and says, what would it take to get Jimmy Garoppolo off your hands right now? And certainly the 49ers, having sacrificed a lot to move up to get Trey Lance, need draft capital.
They would love that. And also, Mace, one more fun tidbit. Kyle Shanahan has one winning season as head coach. The NFL's darling head coach. Only one winning season.
Are you saying Kyle Shanahan is overrated?
Oh, he may be. We'll find out.
On the other side, we're going to shift gears and talk about baseball, of course. Yeah, the All-Star game is here in Denver, but tonight, that means the Home Run Derby is in Denver. It's going to get underway within an hour or so. Nilo Piro of the Denver Sports Betting Show, which comes on before us. You heard him filling in for Eric Goodman on Friday. He's down there at Coors Field. We're going to check in with Nilo, find out what's going on, what the Home Run Derby is going to look like tonight on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment, as the late, great Herb Brown would say. Zach Stevens filling in for him. MileHighSports.com, Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM.
Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Of course, Eric Goodman on assignment today. Andrew Mason here, joined by the one and only Zach Stevens of the DNVR.com Broncos beat writer and podcaster. I said extraordinaire. I need to come up with another positive word to describe you. Before we hit Anilo, we're getting Anilo Piro in. Of course, he's down at Coors Field covering the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. I want to tell you about Colorado Off-Road. No one gives you more than Colorado Off-Road. All the major accessory brands for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV. And when you buy from Colorado Off-Road, they install everything. Need something aftermarket? They've got over 90 years combined experience to get what you want. Here's something else. Unlike the big chains, Colorado Off-Road is family-owned and operated. Jerry grew up in Littleton, and that's where you can find Colorado Off-Road. You need it? They've got it. Upfit today at coloradooffroad.com or go to cooffroad.com. And, of course, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, it's the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. At Mace Denver, at Zach Stevens, DMVR. If you want to join the conversation on the GoFast Energy Drink Hotline, text line 303-801-1340. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, let's go out to Coors Field, site of the All-Star Game, and tonight, site of the Home Run Derby. Joint Anilo Piro, who, of course, works for Mile High Sports here and also is on the Denver Sports Betting Show from 3 to 4 p.m. Anilo, what's going on, man?
Hello, gentlemen. I am doing A-OK, getting ready to see some baseballs get hit along the way. Just finished up our mobile broadcast about an hour ago. And we're living life on this Monday evening. How are you guys?
Doing very well, living life. And what's the buzz down there right now, of course, with the Home Run Derby starting here in about 40 minutes or so?
Yeah, well, it is definitely buzzing. I was down here yesterday as well, watching my Italian national team raise the trophy. I'm sorry, Mace, but I can say that the buzz is infinitely more buzzy. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but there's a lot more people out today than there was yesterday and even on Saturday. I was a little concerned, I'm not gonna lie. Like Saturday, Sunday, I was like, where is everybody? But today, everybody's out in droves. I mean, you can see any and every, you know, team's jersey. I was talking to some guy yesterday who's a Detroit Tigers fan. I've seen some Tampa Bay Rays jerseys. I mean, you're seeing some random teams, which is super, super cool. So I think a lot of buzz as the All-Star game obviously coming up tomorrow, but with the Home Run Derby coming up tonight, it seems like that's the more exciting, you know, feature to kind of keep an eye on here. So a lot of baseball fans, a lot of different baseball caps. I have seen a bunch of Rockies purple, though. So the locals coming out in droves as well.
Well, I love hearing that about the Rockies purple. And let's talk about the guy tonight wearing the Rockies purple, Trevor Story. Yes. Anilo, how much of an advantage do you think Trevor has being at his home park tonight up against these other guys?
I think it's a considerable advantage. And, you know, obviously I'm a betting guy. I think the last I checked, Story to win the Home Run Derby was sitting at 8-1. And I think that's very generous for someone who's going to obviously have a pretty considerable home field advantage. I was actually talking with my co-host, Chase Howell, and we think that the fact that Trevor hits at the right side of the batter's box as well might play to his strengths. You know, he's used to pulling the ball at Coors Field. You know, you don't have to deal with the Breidich barrier in left field as opposed to right field. So I think, you know, Trevor Story, man, I know he hasn't been hitting as many home runs this year as he has in the past, but, man, I'll put him up, you know, in a home run swinging contest. I mean, seriously, I'll take him over just about anybody. I mean, if you need a long ball, Trevor Story can give you that. So I'm excited to see the local kid, you know, get up to bat tonight. And I think, I don't know, it's hard to win this thing, you know, because you need stamina. And at the end of the day, I don't know if he has enough stamina. It's kind of hard to forecast that. But I think we're in for a big night for Trevor Story, for sure. Maybe even boost that trade value, huh?
Maybe. That's didn't even think about that, but that could be true. And Eagle Piero joining us from Coors Field side of tonight's Home Run Derby. You mentioned the odds for Trevor Story at 8-1. Do you think that's a good value play, or are there other better value plays tonight there in the Home Run Derby?
Well, you know, I mentioned stamina, and that's kind of going to be the key, because what was it, a couple years ago, it was Pete Alonso, I forget who, or it was Josh Hamilton, right? He was hitting all those home, that was more than a few years ago. But, like, there's been a couple instances where we've seen guys that just maul home runs, but then they run out of gas when they get to the next round. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I'm concerned with somebody like a Shohei Ohtani. And I know he's kind of the talk of the town, but I saw a report over the weekend that he's yet to take batting practice this season. So, like, where is his fatigue monitor going to be at, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's insane value on the 22-year-old, I think he's 22 years old, Juan Soto. I mean, you're talking about stamina. You're talking about a kid that wants to be there. He's a kid, so I think it's not as, you know, a little bit more fun and games for him as opposed to, you know, a veteran who's, you know, maybe more locked in. So I think Juan Soto's odds are sitting at like 16-1. Last time I checked, he's got one of the best odds out there, one of the more favorable prices. So I'll probably sprinkle a little bit on Juan Soto and as well on the hometown kid and Trevor Story. But like I said, I think you can't rule out guys like Joey Gallo either. But I think at 16-1 with Juan Soto, I mean, how can you pass up that price?
Well, let's talk about Ohtani. I mean, just all of the buzz of this weekend surrounding him. The favorite tonight, tomorrow, the starter, the starting pitcher also batting leadoff. Just incredible. And also just everything he is as a person, as a player, what he's doing for this game. What is the buzz surrounding him, especially being down there?
I think it's huge, man. I think you're seeing, I've seen a few Ohtani shirts. I'm honestly excited to see the reaction, you know, when he gets up to the bat or into the batter's box. I think that's when we're going to, you know, get a real grip on, you know, just how pivotal Shohei Ohtani to this game. So obviously a lot of buzz. And I mean, you know, when you get these foreign, you know, players, it's just a little different too. There's always, you know, like when Ichiro played, like it was always like, oh my gosh, like here comes Ichiro. Like there's just a little extra buzz with it, especially when you're so effective. And I think, you know, we're seeing Shohei Ohtani do this from, you know, as a hitter, as a pitcher. He can play the outfield every now and again. I think people, you know, it's almost like it's worth the price of admission. You know, it's like you just go see this guy play. And I think, you know, of the non-Rockies, you know, Ohtani's name has definitely been the one that I've seen thrown around the most. A lot of people excited to see him. And a lot of people in town, you know, that are not necessarily from Colorado that I've run into that have said, you know, Ohtani's the guy you want to see.
Speaking of the Rockies, you bring up, said non-Rockies. So let's talk about Germán Márquez. Was it a surprise and a disappointment that Márquez didn't get the starting nod given that the game is at Coors Field and he's pitching so well?
So, okay, let me ask you this. Like, is it usually a tradition for the starting pitchers of the respective home team to get the nod? Because I remember when Matt Harvey got the nod in, what was that, 2013, 2014? Mm-hmm. That was like a monumentous occasion, right? And I mean, like, at that point, Matt Harvey was this rising phenom. I remember it just being, like, this, like, really cool instance. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about this with Chase today as well, and I mean, like, Márquez has been solid the last five starts out. You can't get me wrong. But it was funny, we were talking about this, and literally to prove a point in the middle of the segment, I yelled to someone on the street walking by our broadcast, and I was like, you know who Márquez is? And the guy just, like, looked at me, and he was like, who? I was like, but do you know who Justin Verlander is? Do you know who Max Scherzer is? And he was like, oh, yeah, I know those guys. And I was like, point in case. Or case in point, excuse me. So I'm not surprised. Obviously, it'd be kind of like a cool novelty to get Germán Márquez here. But let's be honest, guys. There's better pitchers out there in the National League.
And the other thing with Scherzer, just real quick, his whip is 0.878. Insane. I mean, forget about the win-loss total because the win stat is crap in Major League Baseball. But the guy is literally allowing less than one base runner an inning, substantially less than one base runner in an inning. I mean, that's the kind of thing you were talking about with Kershaw a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's curious. I know my guy Jacob DeGrom isn't going to be doing anything this go-around, but, I mean, Scherzer's been, for the last, 7-8 years? I mean, he's been a bona fide top three, and it hasn't even been close, man. He is electric.
It's his 8th All-Star appearance in the last 9 years, too, so.
Oof, incredible. And my last one for you, you're the perfect person to ask this. It seems like all of the over-unders are so high on this home run derby. Are you taking any of these overs? I mean, I'm seeing the longest home run is in the 500s. You're seeing home runs in a round nearing 30. That is just insane.
Yep. I think I saw like a 515 pro. Here's the thing, man. I don't even know how to get a read on that because it's like I understand that they're not going to be using a humidor. I understand that we have, soft toss and slow pitch and all that kind of stuff. I mean, my saying on the show is, life's always too short to bet the under. And I think, especially on an instance like this where you're trying to have some fun, I mean, how are you going to have fun betting on an under? Like, come on, you want to see these balls go as far as they can. So I'll probably sprinkle a little lunch money on some overs, man. I mean, but from a betting perspective, I mean, please, anyone listening out there, do not go crazy betting the home run derby. Like, I know 16-1 for Juan Soto's juicy. I know 8-1 for Trevor Story's juicy, but don't put more than a pizza's worth on these props, man. I mean, it's just, you can't really forecast this stuff. So I'm taking the overs, man. I'm just going to be up there in the press box. I'm going to walk around the concourse a little bit. I'm just going to try to kick back, relax, and, take some pictures for Mile High Sports and enjoy the night. I'm just excited to see some baseball fly.
So the total over-under tonight for the entire home run derby is 250.5.
Wow.
You're taking the over on that.
When you put it like that, you're making me a little scared. But I mean, why not? But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is the fun time. I don't think that you can be super serious with this, man. I just want to see some home runs. And it's Coors Field, man. I mean, more balls are going to go out here than anywhere else. And with the humidor not being in effect, I mean, let's go ahead and play the over. But like I said, if we hit on this, we can get a meat lover's pizza. If not, we're probably going to be eating ramen for a night or two.
Yeah, I was actually just looking up real quick. I wanted to see how many home runs were hit in 2019. It was 312.
Ooh, so yeah,
wow.
Hit two years ago. Oh. So all of a sudden, I like the over. Oh. But the thing that also comes into play is now Juan Soto may surprise. He's currently on pace for 22 home runs this year, and while you got Ohtani in there, like, kind of leading off and being the big name, you don't have Ronald Acuña Jr. He opted out before he tore his ACL. You don't have Pete Alonso in there. You don't have Kyle Schwarber in there. You don't have Vladimir Guerrero, and you don't have Fernando Tatis Jr. in there. So you got a lot of big names that are sitting this one out.
Yeah, and I mean, that's unfortunate, but I do think, you have a lot of big names that are sitting out, but I think you do have a lot of big names. I mean, like, let's be honest. Ohtani's going to make this thing. If Ohtani is not in this home run derby, I mean, it's going to be extremely lackluster, at least from a names perspective. But, I mean, I think there's enough excitement, man. I mean, Joey Gallo, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that can hit a moonshot? I mean, seriously, you put him up against anybody. So I think, from the casual perspective, maybe you're not going to have the most common names, but, that's baseball for you. But at the end of the day, man, I'm pleased with this crop. I think it's a nice versatile mix with some different ages in there. And like I said, man, it's a home run derby. I mean, you're supposed to have fun with this, and I think they've got some fun players that, want to be there. And I mean, that's the other thing. You don't want Acuña going there and not, hitting home runs but not want to hit home runs, right?
Yeah.
So I think these guys are invested, they're excited, they're ready to go, and we're hyped here at Coors Field.
And by the way, I misstated. Alonso is in the home run derby. He's actually 5-1 tonight, and I know you're a Mets guy. So
Yes. So that'll be an interesting one, man. The polar bear himself.
By the way, real quick, as a Mets fan, was there a part of you deep down in the deep recesses of your soul that was actually a little bit happy that Acuña is out for the season?
Slightly. Oh. I mean, it's just one of those things. If it happens, it happens, my man. But here's the thing, Mace. Honestly, with England yesterday, I was literally sitting there, if you guys were going to win that match, I'm like, freaking Mace, this guy's going to have a Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup, and England's going to win the Euro Cup. I mean, ride your wave with Tampa Bay, my man. You're sitting pretty there.
I have hit the highs and I've hit the lows in the last 5 days. never had an early July in sports as a sports fan quite like this. Never will again, probably. It's been a crazy time. The boat parade was today, by the way, down in Tampa. So
they're doing fun times.
The boat parades are their thing now. Anilo Pirro from Mile High Sports and from the Denver Betting Show, 3 to 4 p.m. that precedes our show. Thanks for checking in with us, and see you tomorrow.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of the program. Zach, good speaking with you. Andrew, great job. Danny, good job. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. And by the way, thanks, Anilo, for filling in for Eric on Friday. There he goes. Anilo Pirro of the Denver Sports Betting Show and MileHighSports.com. Checking in from Coors Field and the All-Star Game. Coming up on the other side, going to talk about the legacy of one of the Broncos' great assistant coaches, Alex Gibbs, longtime offensive line coach who passed away at the age of 80. Where does he stack up in Broncos history? What did he bring, and how is his presence still felt at Dove Valley to this day? We'll get into that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. Zach Stevens from the DMVR.com filling in for him. I'm Andrew Mason. Of course, thank you for watching us here on MileHighSports.com and listening on Mile High Sports 98.1 FM and 107.5 HD3 FM.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment today. Zach Stevens of the DMVR filling in for him. If you want to join the conversation on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed, go to at Zach Stevens DMVR. That's at ZACSTEVENSDNVR. I'm at Mace Denver. And of course, if you want wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
There was a long time and a very successful time in Broncos history when you could not talk about the good things they were doing on the offensive side without getting to Alex Gibbs. Of course, he was their offensive line coach for a couple of stints, came back as a consultant in 2013, coached for 14 seasons over four decades, and of course was the offensive line coach back when the Broncos won back-to-back Super Bowls. And Gibbs died recently at the age of 80 in Phoenix, surrounded by his family, died of complications from a stroke. But a singularly important figure in terms of the history of the Broncos offensive line, and certainly one of the greatest assistant coaches who ever came through Dove Valley.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Mace, I mean, you can look at his impact on the team, both individually, how he helped individual players, how he helped the offensive line, and then also just the team success. He was a part of 5 Super Bowl appearances for the Broncos, and like you said, 2 victories there in 97 and 98. And not only all of the success he had, but man, was he a character that just everyone knew about. Everyone knew Alex Gibbs as being a very interesting character as a coach, extremely tough coach, but man, if you were able to put up with it, did he make you better?
Yeah, exactly. The guys that could withstand the fusillade of profanities that frequently peppered his coaching. And if you ever went to training camp back at Greeley, the Broncos, of course, were there through the 2002 season. You may have memories of hearing Alex Gibbs and some of his creative collections of profanities that would rattle around the field and around the hills that were aside the practice field, that one hill where people would sit at Greeley and watch practice. If you had kids, maybe you wanted to stay away from where the offensive line was working, lest they hear some things that you didn't want them hearing. But for those players who could kind of withstand that, he made them better. He churned out a series of good players. And really, one of the things that was a hallmark of Alex Gibbs was building successful offensive lines with guys who were late round draft picks, free agents. Take Matt Lepsis, for example, became a very good left tackle for this team. And yet, That's somebody who was a converted tight end. Tom Nalen was a sixth round draft pick. Dan Neal was a guard for a long time, a mid round pick. Kept finding these guys and developing them, and the result was an offensive line that didn't have maybe guys that other teams could use, because the Broncos, with that zone blocking scheme, they focused on smaller, quicker offensive linemen, lighter on their feet, but very effective lines, to where, as it turned out, it seemed like they could plug almost any running back in and get a 1,000-yard season, which is part of, frankly, what hurt Terrell Davis's Hall of Fame case, because other guys followed him and had 1,000-yard seasons, but we eventually, the Hall of Fame figured out how great TD was on his own.
Yeah, well, and I mean, Alex Gibbs, the master of the zone blocking, and that is something that is felt not only here with the Broncos, but across the NFL. And you look at teams that are successful in their zone blocking, a lot of that is picked up from Alex Gibbs. And as you said, Mace, just huge. Mm-hmm. It was so important in the Broncos' success.
So important, and even though the Broncos have kind of gradually changed how they do things over the years, you still kind of feel Alex Gibbs' presence a little bit. And certainly, like, for example, the offensive line operating under a cone of media silence. Now, they're a little more talkative now publicly than they used to be, but still, they kind of have the fine system for guys being quoted and saying too much and all that. And you can trace that back to Alex Gibbs and Gary Zimmerman back in the 1990s, who believed in letting the play do the talking.
Yeah, well, and Gibbs certainly let his mouth do the talking to his players, that's for sure.
Where does he stack up among great Bronco assistants of all time?
Man, you think about some of these guys, and I like to throw Gary Kubiak in there, but he obviously had a much bigger impact beyond just the assistant coach. When you think of it as just assistant coach, he has to be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, is he number one?
It's probably, if we take out Wade Phillips, because he was a head coach for a couple of seasons, right, mostly an assistant, but if you remove Wade from the equation, based on the fact that he did serve 2 years as a head coach, you think of influential assistant coaches. You start with, for example, Joe Collier, the defensive coordinator for the better part of two decades, came in under Lou Saban. You look at some of the coaches that endured in those days as well. Like Jerry Fry was a great offensive line coach back in the 70s for the Broncos. And then you kind of bring forth to the 80s and the 1990s. You think of Bobby Turner in the 1990s,
right,
running back coach for a long time, and actually ended up having a stint that was a little bit longer than Alex Gibbs. And then you even think of coaches like Bill Kolar as being one of
kind of a modern day Joe Gibbs in terms of how he approaches players.
He kind of is. There's that tough love, but when he reaches a guy, when Kolar reaches a guy, and we had a conversation recently with Shelby Harris, and you bring up Bill Kolar's influence to Shelby Harris, and he gets a little emotional about what Bill meant to him and becoming the player that he did. You know, Kolar brings a lot of tough love, but he puts that tough love on guys who he believes that can handle it and have something more in them than maybe they knew they had in themselves. And the Kolar, you know, for Kolar, Shelby Harris has become a prized pupil. And you have guys like Tom Nalen and Matt Lepsis I mentioned earlier, and even a more recent guy, Ben Garland, who did not stay in Denver but has carved out a pretty nice career with the Falcons, now with the 49ers, a converted defensive lineman. And a big turning point for Ben Garland was in 2013. Mm-hmm. Alex Gibbs was an offensive line consultant for the Broncos as they went to Super Bowl 48. But his work that year focused on practice squad guys and the backups. And nobody got more from Alex Gibbs than Ben Garland did. And look where he went. And he even worked with the starters as well. I know Orlando Franklin chimed in on Twitter about Alex Gibbs. And, of course, Orlando was on the team in 2013. So the way that he could influence players across the generations, it's mind-boggling. And and really, he had a teaching style that not everyone could respond to. He's one of the great teachers that we've ever seen come through the Broncos.
Without a doubt. And it is crazy that he was in Super Bowls with the Broncos in the 80s, the 90s, 2010, in the 2010s with 2013. And like you said, some of the guys he coached then, Mason, 2013, are still in the league now, so really still having effect in the 2020s.
Yeah, it's a great point. Alex gives a part of five Super Bowls with the Broncos and passed away at the age of 80. Our thoughts go out to his family as well and all those that were influenced by him, because it's a long list of great offensive linemen, not just here in Denver, but elsewhere, because he had success down in Houston. He had success in Atlanta back in the mid-2000s, and certainly generations of offensive linemen owe their careers and their development to having Alex Gibbs there, prodding them, making the best they could be, even if it came with a lot of F-bombs. But I think he'd be okay with having that be part of his legacy as well, because it's part of what made him a character, a memorable character in the NFL. Danny, what did we miss today?
Well, over the weekend, a very tough break for one of the all-time entertainers in the octagon. Also, some international competition you and Anilo touched on earlier, but also some from the hardwood, maybe with a little reason to worry about the USA in the Olympics. We'll talk about that up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Zach Stevens joining us today, right on the other side, right here on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason here on MileHighSports.com, Mile High Sports FM 98.1. FM and 107.5 HD3 FM in Denver. Eric Goodman on assignment. One last segment here with Zach Stevens of thedmvr.com, my podcast co-conspirator at the DNVR Broncos podcast, and talked about Von Miller today. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And by the way, I'll just want to, if you're not aware, Zach recently engaged. Congratulations to him and his fiance Annika on their recent engagement after 11 years.
Yes, as many
together.
As many people would say, about time, but I really appreciate that. Mace did it on the 3rd of July when we were up in the mountains, and man, we love the mountains, so I thought it was a perfect place.
Oh, wonderful. You got that right. Congratulations to you. And hey, I mean, I'm 11 years is kind of what blows me away, but you have to do, everyone has to do things at what is the right timing for them.
Yeah. She stuck by me with 11 years. So it was about time.
Stuck by you. So
stuck with me.
Okay. There. Yeah. All right. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, UFC 264 over the weekend and the third bout between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. The fight card was fantastic up until that main event fight when, after one round, McGregor could not continue, broke his tibia and fibula. A lot of trash talk even after he was on the mat with that ankle wrapped up in a splint, but still talking his trash, almost more of a WWE moment than UFC moment. Is Conor the ultimate villain in sports right now, a true heel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, he's on the ground still talking. And then after his surgery the next day, calls it an illegitimate victory. And man, just how disgusting that break was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're setting up for a rematch.
Oh, but, of course.
By the way, you actually watched that down at the DMVR bar.
Yes.
Watch party going. What was the reaction when the injury happened?
Well, people didn't see, including myself, didn't really see what happened. We weren't sure if he was down and out for the count or what happened until they showed the replay. And man, it was just disgusting.
Yeah, it was horrific. They were showing it on Sunday morning on ESPN, and my daughter saw it, and I was like, oh man, I really didn't. I wish they hadn't shown that.
Yeah, it's one of those pictures where you want to show someone, but then you're like, I don't know if I want to put that on you.
Well, I mean, basically, I guess for her, it's like when I saw the Joe Theismann injury when I was 9 years old.
That's, yikes.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, those 90-degree angle breaks are just brutal to have to witness. Another thing that was a little tough to watch this weekend was the penalties in the Euro Championship. Italy outlasts England in PKs for that Euro title. Argentina defeats Brazil for the Copa America title. Now, with the Olympics coming up, I wanted to ask you guys, how do you see the hierarchy of international soccer competition? I would think the number one is the World Cup, but is number one maybe the Olympic gold? And if those are one and two, what comes next?
Well, number one is clearly the World Cup. Yep. And I would say the Olympic gold, because most of the rosters are under 23. You're allowed a couple of exceptions on the roster. But for the men, it's not the same. So it's actually probably down there below the Euros every 4 years and below the Copa America every 2 years. It's different for women's soccer, though, because women's soccer, the Olympic competition, is just like the World Cup. And so in women's soccer, it's 1 and 1A, which is why there's always a little bit more buzz about the women's, especially in this country, about women's soccer at the Olympics than men's soccer.
And Mace, I'm sorry for your England team. Oh, what a brutal way to go out.
Anyone who's followed England for a long time knows that penalty kicks are, when it comes down to that, you're assuming the worst, and they didn't disappoint. But it's still a really young side, a really talented side, and I have confidence in what they can do going over to Qatar in 2022 for the World Cup, which will actually be during American football season. It takes place in November of 2022. So how the TV programmers figure that out will be interesting.
Got to beat the heat out there in the desert, definitely. Another Olympics topic with some international competition and exhibition on the hardwood this weekend. Team USA lost an exhibition game to Nigeria 90-87. Nigeria has several NBA players on their roster, and Team USA missing some of their roster with the finals still going on. Any reason for concern after that loss for Team USA on Saturday night?
No more so than before. I think it'll probably be a wake-up call for Team USA, but it's also a reminder that the three-pointer is the great equalizer, and Nigeria won this game with an unconscious night from downtown.
Man, how embarrassing, though, for the USA. You hope it's a wake-up call and not what's to come. I know they could get some more guys back, but it's not like they didn't have people. You have Kevin Durant, you have Damian Lillard, you have Jason Tatum out there, and they lose to Nigeria. This is Nigeria's biggest win ever, and you never want your team to follow that, saying it's someone else's biggest win ever, and that for this weekend, it was the U.S.
Yeah, it's actually great for the sport,
to have
this sort of result take place, but frustrating, understandably so in the moment. But again, wake up call. And like I said, if a team is hot from three, it's the great equalizer. We see it in the NCAA tournament, and we saw it on Saturday. It means that the U.S. can't take anybody for granted in the Olympics. It's going to be a fun tournament to watch, especially with how the talent is spread out. I mean, you think, for example, on Slovenia, you got Luka Doncic, who may well be the best player in this entire tournament, and he's got a chance to turn the tournament on its ear if he can get hot as well.
I hope this is something, though, that we're talking about during the Olympics, because sometimes basketball gets kind of put on the back burner because it's not competitive at all. And maybe the U.S. not being at full strength right now and not looking their best will make it more interesting.
It's going to be fascinating to watch Greg Popovich. I think if he had any trouble motivating him, doesn't have any trouble anymore. That was, just in case you missed it, brought to you by our friends over at Masterpiece Roofing, and they were recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and their customers have given them over 85 star reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today. See how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof, whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding. Let them turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. Alex and Danny behind the glass, wonderful job today making us look good and sound good on MileHighSports.com and MileHigh Sports 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM. Zach, appreciate you coming in, spending a couple more hours with me after you spent a couple hours with me this morning over at DMVR. Thanks for joining me.
Mace, I'm honored to be on. Thank you for the invite.
Eric Goodman will be back tomorrow. I'll be here with you as well. And I'm sure we'll hear from Zach dialing at some point here in the future on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. That's our show for today. Stay tuned. Plenty more to come on MileHighSports.com. Until tomorrow, take care.
Y'all can see me now because you don't see with your eye. You perceive with your mind. That's the end. So I'm going to stick around with Russ and be a